Well, good morning for those of you who are in the room and those who are checking us out online. We're so glad you are here today. Now, we're in a series called Unoffendable. Now, don't believe that it was a smart idea from the leadership to let the student pastor preach in a series called Unoffendable, because I'm pretty sure I could offend some people. Well, we could try it. I thought about wearing shorts and flip-flops and a backwards hat this morning. But then I decided that, yes, I do indeed want to keep my job. And if you are offended by me saying that, then the series is for you. And if you're offended that some people would be offended that I wore a hat on stage, this series is also for you. See, this is fun. I could keep doing this all day. So why are we in this series? Well, Proverbs 18:19 says this: an offended brother is more yielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like barred gates of the citadel. So here's the thing. When people get offended, it's like a fortified city. And some of us can be so offended, so angry, so vengeful, and so hurt that we're like a fortified city that nobody can get in. We're the biggest personal gated community there is, and we're not letting anybody in to our life. And see, that shouldn't be the life of the church. That shouldn't be the life of a Christ follower. And so we're talking about, we should not be offended people. We have to live unoffended lives. And so this morning, we're going to tackle the topic of anger. It's going to be fun. And we're going to be looking at how to diffuse anger in our life. And so maybe you'll understand when I say this quote, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." You ever heard that? This is from a show in 1978. Who watched the show in 1978? Okay, you're like, this guy over here. For all you young people, that was the Hulk before this guy over here, okay? This was the original. The Incredible Hulk, Bill Bixby, played this David Banner character who said, "Don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And his eyes would turn green, his buttons would pop out of his shirt, and before you knew it, this normal, everyday-looking guy would turn into this muscular, mean Hulk. And here's reality. Two people are inside. One that's nice and sweet and normal, and all of a sudden you touch a button and you say the wrong thing, hit that trigger, and the Hulkish side of them comes out. For some of you, you thought you were interacting with David Banner, and the next day the Hulk came out. You stood at the altar and thought you had married Banner, and after the honeymoon, the Hulk came out. Some of you mothers swore you gave birth to Banner, and a couple of days, months, years later, you don't recognize the monster that is walking around your house. Some of you thought you were working for Banner, but you did the report wrong and the Hulk came out. And some of you are godly church members, and boy, you look good on Sunday mornings, but catch you at the wrong time, the wrong place, and the Hulk comes out. So let me ask the question, who in here struggles with anger? You can raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you struggle with denial. So I'm glad we're all struggling together. See, anger is one of those things that tends to show itself up on a regular basis. And there are those of you who get angry when you're hungry. Anybody out there? Okay, you're like, when is this service over? Some of you are angry when you're tired. Teenagers, I know that's you. Some of you are angry when you're sitting in traffic. That's why there's so many Californians here. You're like, get out of that place. If you're from California, I love you still. But there are some of us in this room that our anger is deeper. It's that deep-seated anger and bitterness that has spent years and years boiling up. And maybe it's the anger towards your parents and you feel like they didn't parent you like they should have. Maybe it's the anger towards your kids because they don't listen to you like they should have. Some of you might be angry at your boss or coworkers. Maybe they have done something to you. Maybe you've been overlooked. They overlooked you for that promotion and gave it to the worst possible person. Some of you are angry at your spouse because you feel like they're just not trying. And some of you this morning, you might be angry at the church or even at God. Why does he let this happen in my life? Why has the church hurt me and my family like this? So no matter what kind of anger you have this morning, the bottom line is this. If you put a D in front of anger, you get the word danger. See, anger is quite dangerous. And if it's not handled in a healthy way, it becomes destructive. And some of us have experienced destroyed relationships, destroyed bodies, and even destroyed churches because of anger not being handled in godly ways. And so this morning, we're going to talk practically. There are going to be some practical tips in this message to help us all out because anger touches all of us. We've all felt it and we all know it. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 3. And here's the thing. We get to see the first angry person in the Bible. See, Cain was the first angry. He was the first person to get angry. Read this story in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Says this, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will it not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. See, here we notice that this is the first worship service that took place. The first offering where Cain and Abel are bringing offerings before the Lord. And notice that Abel brings an offering of fat portions and the firstborn, the first fruit of all the animals. And Cain, on the other hand, brings something of what he worked at. He worked the soil and the fruit of the grounds and the goods that came from the ground. And it's as if he had a group of apples and saw one that was bruised and rotten. And he said, this is the one that I'll give to God. And as a result, when God received his offering, he had favor on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's offering. Because Abel's offering was given out of the first fruits. He was given his best. But Cain, on the other hand, was given what was left over. And see, we should be people like Abel, right? It says this in Hebrews 11:4. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Hebrews 11:4. But see, Cain, on the other hand, he was thinking about his offering in a monetary terms. What can I give and get away with it? For Cain, it was about profit. But Abel was thinking, I've got to give God my best, and I'll live on what's next. And so you know what happens next? God looked upon Abel's sacrifice with favor, and because of this, Cain burns with anger towards his brother. He gets really, really mad. And God does what he always does when we're having heart problems. He comes and he gently confronts us to give us an opportunity to get our sin right. And so he comes to Cain and asks, he says, Cain, why are you angry? Why are you so angry? And see, when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's usually because we don't know the answer and he wants us to think about it, right? See, God already knows he's angry, but Cain doesn't even realize that he's angry or what he's angry at. And see, this God of love and mercy says, if you just do what is right, no problem. Just repent. And God says, sin is crouching at your door. I see you are angry and sin is crouching there. Please just repent of it and we can make things right. See, God says, I'm stepping in to give you a way of escape so you can make it right with me. You don't have to do what you're about to do. And see, God, just like he gives Cain an escape, I think he gives us escape from our temptation too. But see, temptation is real. Temptation is crouching on our doorstep. Temptation is there. James says this in James 1, 13 through 15. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. And so there is sin crouching out the door. And God is speaking to Cain and saying, hey, don't let that overtake you. Don't let that anger control you. Like, sin is almost there. Hey, why are you angry? Let's bring it back. But Cain doesn't listen. 1 John 3:12 says this, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. You see, this morning, I thank God for some of us is trying to give us that gentle nod. He's trying to give us that escape from our anger. And so I hope that if you are dealing with anger, that this message, that this morning, this can be God's gentle reminder, why are you angry? And so the next few minutes, I want to talk about why Cain killed. Like, what was the root cause? And if it's true for him, I think it might be true for us as well. And see, here are four reasons why Cain killed, and it spells out the name Cain. It killed Abel, and it can kill those around us as well. And so here's the first one, right? Why Cain was so angry that he killed his brother is that comparison causes anger. So you see in the text that there are two offerings, one from Cain and one from Abel. And evidently Cain's was not accepted. And that caused comparison between the brothers and competition for the acceptance and affection of God. See, one of the things that will make you angry is when you're comparing yourself to other people. The devil loves to get you thinking about everybody else. And God is saying, hey, it's not about everybody else. It's not about Abel. It's about you. And see, what happens is if we're not careful, we're going to get into the looking at everybody but ourselves game. And that's a bad game to play. Because what happens when we play that game is that jealousy creeps in, envy creeps in, covetousness creeps in, greed and materialism creep in, and we start comparing ourselves to everybody else, and before you know it, we're getting angry because we don't have what somebody else has. We don't have a spouse like that person. We don't have kids like that person. We don't have a house like that person. We don't have money. And whatever it is, after a while, we start getting angry and upset and jealous over everything. See, Cain couldn't get connected with God because he was too busy thinking about his bottom line and the fact that God had favor on his brother and didn't have favor on him. You see, when we compare, we're not dealing with God anymore. We're too busy looking at everybody else. It reminds me of a story in the Bible, John chapter 21. And what's going on is Jesus has already been resurrected. He's coming before his disciples. And this is the moment where he's having the interaction with Peter, right? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he's speaking with Peter and he's telling Peter all these awesome things. Like, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. But he also tells Peter some hard things like, hey, you're probably going to be persecuted. You probably will even die, right? And so Peter's hearing all these things. And then John walks by. Now, this is John whom Jesus loved, walked by. And in the midst of Jesus speaking to Peter, Peter sees John. And it says this, when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? You're telling me I'm going to die. What about that guy? Is he going to die too? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. See, when we compare ourselves to others or compare our life to others, it makes us angry. But Jesus says, stop worrying about them. You follow me. You focus on our relationship. It's none of your business what they have and you don't. Just do what you know is right. You see, if Cain would have just stopped comparing himself to Abel and done what is right, he would have fixed his relationship with God. But all it did was just make him angry. So we get to the second one. Approval causes anger. Well, really, it's not approval. It's the lack of approval, but that doesn't start with the letter A. So had to, you know. See, God would not approve of his offering. Therefore, Cain became angry. And I think we do this with God and people. If someone doesn't approve or accept of our actions or our words or our opinions, we turn towards anger. I mean, just think about the topics that are not allowed to be mentioned at the Thanksgiving table. Why? Because when someone doesn't approve of what we think is right, then it leads towards anger. If someone doesn't approve of the way that we parent, If someone doesn't approve of the way we vote or the hobbies we like, if someone doesn't approve of our sin, we get angry. We get mad and defensive. When maybe all they're trying to do is correct us or say, hey, I don't accept that. And it becomes their fault and not ours. And we become angry. So that's what Cain did. It became Abel's fault that Abel brought something better. It became God's fault because God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. It wasn't Cain's fault. See, Cain got upset because God did not approve of his lackluster offering. See, sometimes I think we get angry with the people around us because they don't approve of what we say. They don't approve of our opinions or our thoughts or our actions. And see, the lack of approval can cause anger in our life. The third one is isolation causes anger. See, like Cain, if we get in a field all by ourselves, and with all of that time we have, and we think about our life and think about what's going on, we can get angrier and angrier. See, that's what Cain did. He goes off to a field by himself, and he starts thinking, and he starts processing, and he gets mad, and more mad, and more mad. See, if we don't have people to pray with, to talk to, a life group, a small group, a counselor, some friends, someone who is safe in our life to talk about our issues, you start talking to yourself. And let me ask the question, how is that conversation going? So you start talking to yourself and you get angrier and angrier. If you don't watch out, you start shouting and nobody else is even in the room. You see, we have to have people around us that can call us out when we're starting to let anger control us. See, Cain, he didn't go to anybody else and say, hey, here's what happened. No, he went by himself. He isolated himself into a field and all he did was start thinking and processing and it made him mad. You see, we need to have people around us who can help us control our thoughts. And this is uncomfortable because we would rather either just keep it to ourselves or have the conversation isolated to people who agree with us and fuel our anger. That's what we like. I'd rather either keep this to myself so I can become more angry, or I'm gonna talk to people who agree with me and they're gonna fuel my anger. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. If you isolate yourself and only talk to people who are gonna fuel your anger, guess what? You are a fool and you will suffer harm. And not only you, but probably the people around you as well. So isolation causes anger. The last one is negativity also causes anger. And we see that in Cain and Abel's story. Abel was a good man, but the angrier Cain got, the more he thought his brother was the devil himself. See, here is a man who gave the best offering he could to God, but he gets attacked and killed. Why? Because Cain, isolated with his corrupt thoughts, had called good evil. And he let his negativity toward Abel change how he saw and responded to Abel. And the negativity just made him more and more angry at the situation. So I think we too let this happen in our life. When we start to see someone in a negative way, someone who has hurt us, someone who has harmed us, someone who's already made us upset, we start to see them in a negative light. And then it shapes how we view them. And ultimately it shapes how we treat them. Because we let anger take over. And so that's why Cain killed Abel. Now some of you might be thinking like, okay, well anger, like it's an emotion. Like I have to feel it. And to an extent, you're right. To an extent, you're right. Anger is an emotion. So what do we do with this emotion of anger? Is it a sin? Is it wrong? Well, I think Ephesians 4:26 says this, don't sin by letting anger control you. See, it doesn't say don't sin by letting anger control you so much that you kill someone, right? Like, I think that's what we read Cain and Abel's story, like, well, I'm never going to let my anger murder someone, so I'm okay with my anger. My anger's not that bad, right? It's okay. I'm never going to murder someone because I'm mad. But what Ephesians 4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. It gives a foothold to the devil. This emotion gives a foothold to the devil in your life. It's probably something we should stay away from. And so the question is anger a sin? Is anger a sin? And I think the answer is this. When we let the emotion control us, that's when it becomes a sin. See, out of all the doors he could use, Satan, like all the doors he could use, notice that the first one we see, the first time the word sin is used in the Bible is right here. Sin is crouching on your door. Cain is angry and sin is there. So the devil is looking to come through the door of anger to take control of you. And there's nothing more controlling than when you see somebody's eyes turn green like David Banner and their buttons start popping. So the devil is having a field day when he can get you into that situation where you can't even make good decisions because you've allowed the negative emotion of anger to take full control over you. When anger takes over your thoughts, your words, your actions, it is sin. Now some of you may be asking, what about righteous anger? We love that word, right? Righteous anger. Like we can live with. Let me answer it with these three verses. You can look them up later. They're the same thing. Psalms 14, 1 through 3, Psalms 53, 1 through 3, and Romans 3, 10 through 12. I'm going to read Romans 3, 12, 10 through 12, but it quotes those other two. It says this, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. None is righteous. No, not one. If none of us are righteous, then how can we have righteous anger? Let me let that soak in. Because I think we like to masquerade our anger under this idea of righteous anger. But it's wrong. So here's the thing. Our righteous anger leads to revenge and bullying and belittling people. Our righteous anger leads us to say cruel things about Muslims. Our righteous anger leads us to hate people who vote for Biden or people who vote for Trump. See, our righteous anger isn't so righteous. You see, God is the only one that can have righteous anger because he is the only one who is indeed righteous. Because here's the problem. We cannot separate the thing that we are angry with from the people who are involved. That's what makes it not righteous. See, we love the phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner. We're not good at it. No matter how much you want to say that that's what you believe, you're not good at it. We're not good at it. It's really hard for us to separate the thing from the person. And see, God is perfect at it. See, God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. God hates these things, but he loves the people involved. We are not good at separating that. And so what I would say, because we are not good at separating those things, let's leave righteous anger up to the only one who is actually righteous. Well, now that you're all angry with me, I want to tell you how to deal with that anger in a healthy way so that we all can leave here being friends. I want to give us five ways to reverse the rush of anger, and they spell out the word regna. Get it? Because it's anger reversed. Now some of you got it. That's good. Took you. First service was way faster. It's okay. It's okay. All right. So let's reverse anger. How do we do that? Well, the first one is, it starts with R, request help from God immediately. See, I think this is really important. Like when you start feeling that boiling up, when your buttons start popping, your eyes start turning green, talk to God. Reach out to him. See, I think we all know those moments. We know those moments when our parents are about to get on, like we're about to explode on them. Like we know when our kids are pushing us to that point. We know when our boss or that coworker is just getting under our skin and we feel anger about to take over and control us. In that moment, stop and talk to God. Stop and talk to God. Take a deep breath. Because I believe that God's going to say this. I'm bigger than that person. I'm bigger than that situation. I'm bigger than this job that you lost. I'm bigger than your parents or your grandparents that are acting crazy. I'm bigger than your teenager. I can handle this. I know the Hulk looks pretty big to you right now, but I am bigger than that. Because sometimes we need to lean on the Holy Spirit. And because I'm preaching this sermon, I kind of had to try it. I have two kids, okay, two-year-old and a four-year-old. And sometimes they drive me crazy, okay? Parents, you understand, okay? They're sleeping in the same bed. Same room at night. And it's hard. It's hard. My four-year-old, she wants to keep my two-year-old up. And then when she starts jumping around, then he starts jumping around. They start giggling. And I'm like, dude, it's 10:30. It's time to go to bed, right? And so I've been trying to practice, like, talking to God before I go into that room. Because I can get super mad. Go to sleep now, right? But I've been trying to talk to God. And does it always work? No. No. I have failed a lot of times. But I think the moments that I do actually reach out to God, say, God, help me have grace in this moment, the conversations go better. And I can see my kids just, they're just having fun with each other and giggling, and it's sweet. And it changes my perspective. And so I think we need to do that. Request help from God immediately. The second one is sometimes we just need to exit volatile situations. And for some of you, this might feel like self-defeat. But some situations can be so volatile that the best thing you can do is actually exit the situation. And again, it may feel like defeat, but it's not a defeat. See, defeat is if you stay and pick up that plate and throw it across the room. Defeat is if those words come out of your mouth that you cannot take back. That is defeat. Taking a moment is not defeat. And let me give you a tip. When you exit the situation, make sure you communicate to that person that you're going to deal with it later. You're not leaving and being like, I'm not going to deal with this. But you're saying, hey, I need a break because I'm angry. And I don't want to explode. And I don't want anger to control me. I don't want anger to control me. See, I think that's really important. Give yourself a countdown. Do something else. Maybe it's you have to go work out, go read a book, go watch a TV show, go for a walk, whatever it is, right? Do something to help you calm down. See, I think sometimes we respond too quickly, and when we get into that situation, it becomes volatile when we let anger control us in that moment. And then later we come back and we're like, oh man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Psalms 4:4 says this, and I love this scripture. This is actually what Ephesians was quoting, okay? It says, in your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your heart and be silent. I love the psalmist because he gives us this idea of like getting away from this situation. He says, go to your bed. So that means like getting away, going to your bed, searching your heart and being silent. Like, here's the thing. Counselors didn't make this up. Like, they're like, remove yourself and calm down. Counselors, like, the Bible talks about it. When anger is coming up, remove yourself, go to your bed, search your heart and be silent. Seek God. Pray about it. And when you can come to it again where you're not angry, you can have the conversation. And you can express it in a way that's helpful and not reactive. Third one, get over it. I mean, just get over it. That might sound insensitive, but just get over your anger as quickly as you can. Now, again, some of you might be saying like, well, I have these feelings. I have to feel my feelings. We're in such a like 2024. It's like, we got to feel our feelings. Okay. And I know you do. I have to feel them too, but feel them and then get them out of the way. Cry river, build a bridge, and get over it. So my parents used to tell me, okay, if you're a good parent, tell that to your kid. Because if you don't, this is where it's important. Because if you don't, it's gonna get a hold of you. Sin is crouching on the door, and the devil is ready to take that foothold if you let anger sit there. So get over it. Get over it. Don't mull on it. Don't talk about it over and over and over again and call your friend and talk about it again and then go over here and tell to this person and then be like, get over it. Some of us love saving emails and voicemails and text messages so that we can look back and get angry again. Delete it. Some of us love bringing back the conversations that we had so we can get angry again. Get over it. And I know that's not always easy. I'm not saying it is. But what I do know is I've done things in my anger and frustration that I'm ashamed of. And I wish I had never said or done. And you probably do too. And the quicker you can get over it, the less things that you'll have to be ashamed about or regret doing. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Sometimes we got to overlook it. Sometimes we got to overlook it. We got to get over it. It happened. We got to say, okay, I'm going to give you grace in this and get over it. And get over it. And not let it just fester there. And last one is note the root cause. We know the root cause for sin has not, like, we know the root cause for Cain was not him being accepted in his comparison as a result of that. He was jealous. He was mad at God and Abel. And here's the issue. Other people may not be able to know what the root cause of your anger is, but guess what? They still feel it. And we have to be careful with that. All they know is that you're really, really mad. Has anybody ever heard dug up a bush before? And we dug up a bush. Okay. I had this prickly pear in my backyard. And I thought one day, I need to get this out of here. It's got to go. Because I was, you know, it was before I had kids. And I was like, if I have kids, I can't have this prickly pear. Because my mind just started thinking back to the Lion King movie. Where like the hyenas are chasing Simba. And they land in the prickly things. And the hyena flies in the air. Okay. Some of you are like, I have no clue. I've watched that movie way too many times. Okay. That's all I could think of is my kids falling in this prickly pear bush. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get it out. So I got all the things. I got the shovel. I got my gloves. Those don't help against the spikes, just so you know. Okay? And I was like, I got this. I thought it was going to be easy. It was not easy. I started digging that thing up, and then there was another root, and there was a bigger root, and you go deeper, and there's another root. And there's roots everywhere, and they're just ugly and gross, and it was so hard. But guess what? I had to knock it all down, because if you don't knock down all the roots, if you don't get all the roots out, it's just going to grow back. And see, there are some pretty looking bushes out there. But if you get down under there, there are some roots of bitterness and anger that you need to deal with. And you need to look at the root cause of it, because if you don't, guess what? The anger is going to grow and grow and come back. You see, it had nothing to do with Abel. Abel didn't do anything to Cain. But Cain had some deep-rooted issues going on. And some of us in here are like Abel, and we're the people getting attacked because we're in a close target distance from someone who's angry. And maybe we're not the root cause. We're really not what they're angry at. And they're angry at something else. See, Abel was a victim by association, and some of us have been that. But others of us are like Cain, and there are some deep-rooted issues that you need to work through, because you are letting everybody around you have it because you are not working through your anger and bitterness. And there's something you need to work on. There's something there that is causing you to hurt the people around you because there's a deep-rooted anger. And then lastly, we need to act as the master, not as the slave. Parents have weird sayings. My mom used to say this to me, like, who's the parent and who's the child? And I was like, a child. I'm like, is this a trick question? You are the parent. I'm the child. Duh. Okay. It's not a tough quiz. Okay. But now there's people like, then when you get older and become a parent, your parents say this. They say things like, remember, you're the parent. Act like it. Sometimes I don't want to. But you're the master. Act like it. And that's a good word for some of us this morning, I think, because some of us don't feel like we can have control over our anger. Some of us don't feel like we can have control over our emotions. But God said to Cain, and he says it to you, you must master it. You must rule over it, because if you don't, it will rule over you. And see, here's the reality. You are the master. You can be the master of your anger. But again, if you are not, it will master you. See, with the power of Jesus Christ, you can master your anger. You can master it. But you have to let it stop mastering you. And so I think we're going to wrap it up with this question. The question is this: who in here needs to confess the sin of anger today? Do you need to confess the sin of anger in your life? Because there's some of you who are angry. And you've been angry. And the people around you know that. If you don't know if you're angry or not, just ask the people around you. Hey, am I an angry person? Because they will know. And some of you need to confess that sin. You've been letting it master you. You've been letting it control you. And you need to repent of it. You need to ask for forgiveness. And maybe there's some people in your life that you need to ask for forgiveness as well. You need to ask them for forgiveness because your anger has hurt them. And so in this moment, I just want you to think about that. Is there anger in your life that you need to confess? Are there people that you need to talk to? Let's pray. Father God, just thank you so much. Thank you for who you are, what you've done for us. And God, in this conversation about anger, God, I ask if there's anybody in here that struggles with this sin, God, that they will ask you for help, that they will repent of it, confess of it, because we know that the devil is waiting to use anger to destroy our relationships and destroy our relationship with you. And so God, help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.